Great this morning to get you kind of moving because of the title of my sermon today, which is Dancing with God. That's an odd title, huh? Did you ever think of dancing with God? I never did. Did you ever think that each step of our lives could be looked on as a different dance? Did you ever think that each season of our lives could be a different kind of dance, having its own steps and moves? I never did think about that. Did you ever think about who is leading your dance? I never did until now. But that's a lot to think about. But before we go on, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We just thank you for your son, Jesus, and his sacrifice. And I ask, Lord, that the minds and hearts of everyone just be open this day, Lord, to receive your message. Give us grace and mercy and peace in our lives. And we ask these prayers in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I received an email from a friend. And, you know, you get all those different kind of emails, different messages and things like that. But it was a prayer titled Guidance. And after I read it, I thought, hey, that ought to be a good sermon. But I guess you'll let me know when I'm done, right? Amen. Anyway, the prayer reads like this. When I meditated on the word guidance, I kept seeing dance at the end of the word. I remember reading that doing God's will is a lot like dancing. When two people try to lead, nothing feels right. The movement doesn't flow with the music, and everything is quite uncomfortable and jerky. When one person realizes that and lets the other lead, both bodies begin to flow with the music. One gives gentle cues, perhaps with a nudge to the back, or by pressing lightly in one direction or another. It's as if two become one body moving beautifully. The dance takes surrender, willingness, and attentiveness from one person, and gentle guidance and skill from the other. My eyes drew back to the word guidance. When I saw G, I thought of God, followed by you and I. God, you, and I dance. As I lowered my head, I became willing to trust that I would get guidance about my life. Once again, I became willing to let God lead. My prayer for you today is that God's blessings and mercies are upon you on this day and every day. May you abide in God as God abides in you. Dance together with God, trusting God to lead and to guide you through each season of your life. This prayer is powerful, and there is nothing attached. If God has done anything for you in your life, please share this message with someone else. There is no cost, but a lot of rewards. So let's continue to pray for one another. And I thought, well, that was a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Well, most people like to dance. Amen. Raise your hand if you like to dance. And there are all kinds and forms of dance. And there's usually dancing at parties, celebrations, festivals, weddings. There's line dancing, there's waltzes, there's the tango. Some of the newer dances I heard are the jerk, although we had the jerk back in the 70s and you went like this. That was the jerk back in the 70s. And then there's something called the stanky leg or something like that. The stanky, I was like, the name of that song's cracked me up. So there's a lot of dances. But I remember when I was growing up, my brother Richard taught me how to dance. He taught me how to hand dance, and he taught me how to slow dance. And he taught me that there should always be one person who was the lead, and the other person just followed. So as he taught me this, it was hard at first, because I would lose my focus and step on his feet, and, you know, he was very patient. But we kept at it, and we would start again and again. And you see, he showed me what to do. And I learned to follow his lead until our dancing was smooth and effortless. Now, how many of you watch Dancing with the Stars? I have a coworker who just loves that show, and she talks about it all the time. Now, those couples are definitely in sync with each other, amen? And they make it look easy, but it takes a lot of hard work and practice and the willingness to work together. Now, the waltz, for instance, is a beautiful dance. It's done with two people lightly holding each other. And the man moves forward with his left foot. The woman steps backward with her right foot. Then they both move to the right. And then they move to the left. And then they start all over again. They mirror each other's movements. Now, we just had the Winter Olympics, where there was figure skating. So there was, you know, couples skating. And those couples really had to be in sync as well. Because if not, they would fall on the ice, and I can imagine that hurt like what? That ice was so hard. And then they would lose points, and then they would be out of, they wouldn't be able to get a medal. So just like the waltz, they had to mirror each other's movements. In line dancing, I love line dancing, where you're basically dancing alone, but with other people as well. Everyone is doing the same step. If you don't quite know the steps, and you can look at the person on the right of you, or on the left of you, or in front of you, and that's how you learn. With a lot of the newer dances, though, you have a partner, but each of you are doing your own thing. But you're doing it together, so you look good out there on the dance floor. Now, sometimes, and I know everybody's experienced this, I remember this in high school, when one person just leaves you in the dust. He's just going off, or she's going off, just doing her own thing. They're just dancing all wild and crazy and everything. But at that point, you know, you're not in tune with each other. You're out of step. There's a lot to dancing, and those who are in tune with each other can make it look easy. Just take our liturgical dancers. Now, I know that they practice. You always hear, looking in the bulletin, there's liturgical dance practice this afternoon. You know, come on out for liturgical dance practice. But they make it look easy, and they're praising God through dance. But they make it look easy because everyone is in step with each other. Now, you know, us black folks like to dance, and we are some good dancers. But I'm here to tell you today that it's a myth that all black people have rhythm. All right? That is a myth. Because when I first met Walter at a costume party and he asked me to dance, I was like, oh, okay. So we got out there, he could dance, but he didn't have any rhythm. And I thought to myself, oh man, he's so nice and he's so cute, but he can't keep the beat. But obviously that didn't bother me much because we've been married for 21 years, amen, so that's all right. That's all right. Anyway, as we got to know each other better and became comfortable with each other, he would let me lead. You see, Walter was willing to let me lead in my strong areas so that our dance together would go smoothly. When we got married, we allowed God to lead our dance. Sometimes we get off beat, but our commitment to God and to each other gets us back together. Now, as I read over the prayer Sharita sent me, dancing with God really has the same principles. And the Bible tells us to praise God's name with dance. Psalm 149:3 says, let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. And Psalm 150:4 says, praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. So not only should we be dancing with God through the seasons of our lives, we should also praise his name with the dance. If we follow his lead, our dance will be smooth most of the time. But when we get distracted and look away, and I love how the dancers, you know, they go like this, they go and you look away. I thought that's such a cool move. It doesn't make me want to dance with them, but I, you know, it's like I'm too chicken to be out there in front. But when we get distracted and look away from God and try to dance our own dance or dance on our own, we get out of step. And our dance in life becomes messy and difficult and out of balance. Now, the Bible talks about David, who was a man after God's own heart. And he actually danced out of his clothes when he was helped carrying the ark. But even as a young boy, David believed and loved the Lord. He referred to God as the living God. He was obedient and was protected by God in everything he did because he did God's will for his life. In 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 through 37, that's the story of David and Goliath. David tells King Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And as the story goes, David did defeat Goliath. So to keep in line with my sermon title, David danced with God and was successful in all that he did, but just for a while. Now, this was just one season in David's life. As his life continued and his season as the king came about, he did get out of focus. David was freestyling. His dance didn't line up with God's plan, and he was out of step with God. And then we have the story of David and Bathsheba, which can be found in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, where David became an adulterer, had Bathsheba's husband killed, married her, and had a son who died as an infant because of their disobedience. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 27 reads, "But the thing David had done displeased the Lord." You see, David was trying to choreograph his own dance. He no longer listened to the cues from God to direct his steps. He ignored that little nudge to go in this direction where his life would continue smoothly. No, David decided to make up his own dance steps, get creative, and then he had to face the consequences. Realize that consequences don't just affect you, but those closest to you, closest to us, and even those indirectly connected to us. Amen? Now, how many of us have done the same thing as David did, deciding to dance our own dance? It might have been taking a job that took you away from family and from the church. It might have been a person that led you away from your family and your church. A lot of times it is someone leading us in the total opposite direction of God. So we need to ask ourselves, is that person or that job leading me to God or away from God? This should be the test question, especially when we talk about a healthy relationship. I told my daughter Jessica as she was off to college to ask herself that question when she was making any type of choices or decisions in her life. Is this situation leading you to God or away from God? Now, just as David went through seasons of his life, we also go through seasons or life events. So what are those seasons? Well, there's a season when we're young, searching for something real and meaningful in our lives. We're out there thinking we're having fun, doing all sorts of things we can talk about, and those things that we can't. Often there is an emptiness that we feel that we just can't quite put our finger on. But if we don't have God as a dance partner, that's what's missing. We don't have him guiding and leading us to fulfillment. We think we're dancing alone, but we aren't. God is right there with us. So many of us think we're doing it all by ourselves, but we aren't. Then as we go to the next season of our lives, we're more mature, hopefully. Some of us take longer to mature than others, amen? We're making all kinds of decisions, building our careers, maybe thinking about getting married and building a family. Whether we believe it or not, God is right there with us. Hopefully by this time we found God for ourselves. Excuse me, and we're allowing him to be the leader of our dance and our family's dance. Now, when we're in this season where we're thinking about marriage, how do we choose a dance partner? We definitely need to have God as the lead in this area. You see, it's not about finding the right person. It's about being the right person. Following God's lead will head us in the right direction for finding that partner. But we have to be patient. A lot of us are not patient. It's not going to happen overnight. It might take years, but we do have to be aware of God's nudgings. He nudges us. He pushes us lightly a little bit to try and lead us in the right direction. And we will know in our heart and in our soul and in the bottom of our feet whether this is the right person for us. Amen? Amen. You know that, but oftentimes we ignore all of those signs. But we just know deep in our hearts. So follow God's lead on this one. In marriage, dancing with God is a very important part of that relationship. In marriage, we now have another person that we're responsible for. In marriage, we must have two people willing to follow God's lead. And as a couple begins their dance, God will guide them. He'll show them which way to turn with that little nudge here and that little nudge there. And that's a prayer stated, pressing lightly in one direction or another, so that the two become one body, moving beautifully together. Now, let me be very clear that dancing with God doesn't mean our dance is always going to be smooth. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering." And how many of us have had painful trials? As Pastor Rick says, keep living. You're going to have some more. But we often have to learn new steps in our lives. God sometimes throws in a new step to make us stumble because he wants us to refocus on him again when we take our eyes off of him. When you learn a new dance, the steps are unfamiliar, so it takes time to learn the combinations. There are going to be some rocky times when our steps don't click, especially when we want to go one way and God wants us to go another. Again, that gentle nudge to lead us in the right direction can sometimes be ignored because we don't want to go that way. We know it's the right way to go, but we don't want to go that way. And this happened to Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it reads, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. And as the story goes, the ship he was on ran into a terrible storm. And the sailors wanted to know, who brought this on us? There's somebody here who brought this on us. And when they found that it was Jonah, they threw him overboard. And the seas became calm instantly. But Jonah was swallowed by a large fish. Not dancing with God does have its consequences, amen? Amen? Amen. We realize that we are going to have to change to go in the direction God wants us to go. And we don't want to do that. So we run into problems. As Felicia said in her sermon in April, problems are inevitable. Jan Parker of the Association of Family Therapy states that nobody's life or relationship can be in a permanent state of happiness. There will always be difficult times. But we need to learn and grow from these missteps and get back in step with God. So being in step with God means developing a relationship with him. We do this by being in prayer, developing our own personal study of the Bible, worshiping and fellowshipping with others, loving, encouraging, and helping each other as God commanded us to do. Sounds like a lot, huh? but it really isn't. These things are vital to cultivating or growing an intimate personal relationship with God. And when we begin this dance with God and you keep at it, you just keep praying and you keep worshiping and you keep fellowshipping with the saints, the steps get easier and easier. The problem with a lot of us is that we see ourselves as lords of our own lives. Amen. When our lives are dysfunctional, we try to mend them ourselves. We go through self-help techniques, psychological therapies, religious philosophies, anything to pull ourselves up. We think we can improve by ourselves or with a little help from our friends. See, we don't think we need a relationship with God. But you see, Jesus didn't come into the world to improve us, amen? He came to rescue all of us who are lost, broken, and hopeless. Now, how many of you have been lost, broken, and hopeless? We're still there because we need Jesus in our lives. You see, the world cannot accept a Savior until it admits it needs saving. What the gospel does is that it challenges man's authority in his own life and insists there is a Lord far more worthy. Now, when we reach the twilight season of our lives, near the end of our dance, we're much, much older and retired, able to slow down a bit and look back and reflect on our lives. And as we look back, hopefully, we can see our lives as a dance with God and all the good steps and missteps we made and how they molded and shaped our lives. How it took a lot of time and practice to get the dance just right, where we move beautifully through our lives together with God. To dance with God, we need to allow Him to be the lead. We need to allow God to be in charge of our destiny. To dance with God, we need to surrender to God. That song says, "I surrender all." To dance with God, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to enter into us and become our counselor and our conscience. John 14, verses 15 through 17 says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Galatians 5, 25 says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." To dance with God, we need to work on building a personal, intimate relationship with Him. We need to be reading our Bibles to learn the truth about God. We need to read the Bibles to learn about our lives and what we should be living for and how we should be living. So, my friends, dancing is one of life's pleasures. Even if it's a simple jig or a complicated waltz, even if we are dancing with someone or by ourselves, know that God is right there with us. He doesn't mind if we step on His toes every once in a while, but as long as we're willing to stop and get back in step with Him. As I close, we should ask ourselves these questions. Is my life a dance with God? Am I willing to have Him lead my life? And as the prayer says, we need to learn how to dance together with God, trusting Him to lead and to guide us through each season of our lives. And my friends, I pray that all of us will dance with God through 2010. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, great and gracious God, we once again give you thanks and praise for this day, Lord, for waking us up this morning, Lord, for allowing us to see another day. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, when we fall short of your glory, and forgive us if anything that we've done has been displeasing in your sight. So thank you, Lord, for watching over us and giving us another chance this day to do your will for our lives and to dance with you, Lord. Help us to allow you to be the leader in our lives, guiding us and leading us through those seasons, Lord, until we meet you again in heaven. So, Lord, keep your arms protection around us. Guide us and lead us. Continue to love us and be patient with us, Lord. And we give you thanks and praise ahead of time for what you've already done in our lives and what you yet will do. And we give you thanks and praise and ask this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you don't know the Lord, you want to get that, start that personal, intimate relationship with him, come forward and we will pray for you. We will pray with you. If you have concerns about your life, if you want Glenville to be your church, then come forward and let us all pray for you. Our invitational hymn is, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Everybody, please stand.